Chapter 2 Stepan Arkadyevich was a truthful man in his relations with himself. He was incapable of deceiving himself and persuading himself that he repented of his conduct. He could not at this date repent of the fact that he, a handsome, susceptible man of 34, was not in love with his wife, the mother of 5 living and 2 dead children, and only a year younger than himself. All he repented of was that he had not succeeded better in hiding it from his wife. But he felt all the difficulty of his position and was sorry for his wife, his children, and himself. Possibly he might have managed to conceal his sins better from his wife if he had anticipated that the knowledge of them would have had such an effect on her. He had never clearly thought out the subject, but he had vaguely conceived that his wife must long ago have suspected him of being unfaithful to her and shut her eyes to the fact. He had even supposed that she, a worn-out woman no longer young or good-looking and in no way remarkable or interesting, merely a good mother, ought, from a sense of fairness, to take an indulgent view. It had turned out quite the other way. Oh, it's awful. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Awful, Stepan Arkadyevich kept repeating to himself, and he could think of nothing to be done. And how well things were going up till now, how well we got on. She was contented and happy in her children. I never interfered with her in anything. I let her manage the children in the house just as she liked. It's true, it's bad, her having been a governess in our house. That's bad. There's something common, vulgar, and flirting with one's governess. But what a governess. He vividly recalled the roguish black eyes of Mademoiselle Roland and her smile. But after all, while she was in the house, I kept myself in hand. And the worst of it all is that she's already... It seems as if ill luck would have it so. Oh, oh, but what? What is to be done? There was no solution but that universal solution which life gives to all questions, even the most complex and insoluble. The answer is, one must live in the needs of the day, that is, forget oneself. To forget himself in sleep was impossible now, at least till nighttime. He could not go back now to the music sung by the decanter women, so he must forget himself in the dream of daily life. Then we shall see, Stepan Arkadyevich said to himself. And getting up, he put on a gray dressing gown lined with blue silk, tied the tassels in a knot, and having drawn a deep breath of air into his broad, bare chest, he walked to the window with his usual confident step, turning out his feet that carried his full frame so easily. He pulled up the blind and rang the bell loudly. It was at once answered by the appearance of an old friend, his valet, Matvey, carrying his clothes, his boots, and a telegram. Matvey was followed by the barber with all the necessaries for shaving. "Are there any papers from the office?" asked Stepan Arkadyevich, taking the telegram and seating himself in the looking-glass. "On the table," replied Matvey, glancing with inquiring sympathy at his master, and after a short pause he added with a sly smile, "They've sent from the carriage jobbers." Stepan Arkadyevich made no reply. He merely glanced at Matvey in the looking-glass. In the glance in which their eyes met in the looking-glass, it was clear that they understood one another. Stepan Arkadyevich's eyes asked, "Why do you tell me that? Don't you know?" Matvey put his hands in his jacket pockets, thrust out one leg, and gazed silently, good-humoredly, with a faint smile at his master. "I told them to come on Sunday and till then not to trouble you or themselves for nothing," he said. He had obviously prepared the sentence beforehand. Stepan Arkadyevich saw Matvey wanted to make a joke and attract attention to himself. Tearing open the telegram, he read it through, guessing at the words, misspelt as they always are in telegrams, and his face brightened. "Matvey, my sister Anna Arkadyevna will be here tomorrow," he said, checking for a minute the sleek, plump hand of the barber cutting a pink path through his long, curly whiskers. Thank God.